Chapter 16 now. This is the story of our Lord's resurrection and appearance to his disciples. He makes three separate appearances here. And we're going to see how that each one of them applies to us. Three separate appearances. All right, let's begin verse 9. This is where we left off Sunday morning. Verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And there's a couple of things we can learn from this. Number one, Christ did indeed come to save sinners, even the chief. That's why he came. The very first person that he appeared to on his resurrection was the worst of the bunch, a harlot. Scripture says harlots and publicans. He saved many harlots and publicans. They followed him, and sinners. So the Lord did indeed come to save sinners. He's the Lord, he's the Savior, he's the friend of sinners. That's good news to anyone who's sinner, especially chief. Second thing, I want you to turn to John 20. John chapter 20. We're going to go back and forth between these accounts of this. John chapter 20. Second thing we learn from this, not only does our Lord appear to sinners, but he makes himself known to seekers. He makes himself known to true sinners. He makes himself known to true seekers. Mary was a seeker. Look at it. John 20, verse 1 and 2. Now, first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene. Early. It was still dark. This woman was serious, wasn't she? She loved the Lord. It was dark. She came unto the sepulcher and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre, and she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, John, and saith unto them, and I just hear the anguish in her voice, that anxiety, they've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him. She is distraught. She's early, and now she's anxious. That's who the Lord appears to. The early and the anxious. Those are about his business. That's why she came. She was early. She was anxious. Very plain, isn't it? We look at verses 11 and following. Mary stood without at the sepulchre. Apparently the other ladies left. She was weeping. And so as she went, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lay. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Master. Early and anxious. That's who the Lord appeared to. He said this. He said, Those that seek me early shall find me. First fruits. First part of the day. She did. And she found him. And he spoke to her. No one else. Her. And those who searched for me with all their heart. She wanted to know where he was, didn't she? Where is he? She asked everybody, Would you tell me where he is? I need to know. And he personally came and said, I'm right here. I'm right here. You want the Lord's presence? You want the Lord's special blessings in worship? Be early and be anxious. Pretty simple, isn't it? Verses 10 and 11, back in our text. Verses 10 and 11. She went. She ran, we read, and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, or heard it from her, and had been seen of her, they believed not. They believed not. She ran and told the disciples who were mourning and weeping who these were. I'm not sure. That's not important. But anyway, there were some disciples, and they were together, and they were mourning and weeping over what had happened. Now, these people, these men, women, whoever they were, they believed Christ. They did. They did. Although they all fled, though they all forsook him, though Peter forsook him. Did Peter believe that he was the Christ? Did he? He sure did. He sure did. And now they're mourning over his absence and weeping. They believed Christ, but listen, they were so overcome with grief and sadness and anxiety that they couldn't hear the good news. You ever been there? They were so, let me repeat it, they were so overcome with grief and anxiety and trouble that someone was trying to tell them the good news and they couldn't hear it. The very thing they needed to hear to dispel their sadness. The very thing. It's the same with us. Same thing happens to us. We believe, but we're so overcome at times with something, whatever it is, that we can't hear the good news. The only thing that will dispel the sadness. See that? This woman was trying to tell. He's alive. Oh, he's dead. Oh, he's alive. Oh, but he's alive. They didn't believe. He couldn't. Too sad. I'm out. Verse 12. After that, he appeared in another form. Another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. Now these are the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Let's go back there and look at that. We sang about it. Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. He appeared again in another form. What kind of form? Well, a body. And these men who walked along knew him to be a man, but they didn't know him. But he was a man. Took a bodily form. And talked to them as they were walking. What it is, he hid himself purposely. He hid his identity from them on purpose. He's testing them. And the scriptures tells us that he still does the same thing. That we entertain angels unaware. Right? But and he tests us. It's easy to believe when you see it. Isn't it? It's easy to believe what you see. That's what the world says. Show me and I believe. That's what people in Missouri say. Isn't it? The show me state? Anyway, the world says, show me and I believe. No, 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 no. The Lord proves faith and then show you. The Lord tries faith and then show you. Faith honors him more than sight. He said in one place to the disciples, they said, you believe because you see. He said, blessed are they that believe, having not seen. That honors him. What does it honor? His word. Takes him at his word. And he's magnified his word above everything. His word. His word. Well, these two disciples, Luke 24, verse 13, walking to Emmaus, a village, verse 13, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. That's 7 or 8 miles. They were walking. They were walking. 7 or 8 miles, Stephen. 7 or 8 miles. Steve, my truck broke down down at Sam's house. And Stephen, I called him, and Mary dropped him off, and we walked back to Stephen's house. And I said, how long is this? About 12 miles? And we were walking and walking. He said, well, actually, it's about 8/10 of a mile. It was dark, and I had old boots on. It just seemed like 8 miles we were walking this village. We got it easy, don't we? 7 or 8 miles they were walking, and they were talking. 7 or 8 miles, how long would it take you to walk that far? Somebody tell me, it does a lot of walking. How long does it take you to walk a mile? Come on, where's wrong walking in here? Huh? 20 minutes a mile. Well, you're going to slow down the 4th mile. It's going to take you about 4 hours, I bet you. At least to walk 7 or 8 miles. So they're talking to pass the time. Well, not just to pass the time. They left Jerusalem where the Lord was crucified, and they're talking about Christ and Him crucified. That's what they're talking about. They're communing together about all of this. Everything He said and did. Look at verses 14 and 15. They talked together of all these things which had happened. They were talking for 3 or 4 hours. It came to pass that while they communed together, they were not just talking, they were pouring out their hearts to one another. It says they were talking, yes, but they were communing. When you commune, it means you're expressing all your doubts and your fears and your, you know. Have you ever commune with someone? Sure you have. Communicate. I mean, really, not idle talk, but you're pouring out your heart. Oh, all the doubts and fear, that's what they're doing. Walking along, talking about Christ crucified. And the news, somebody says, risen. And they're just, you can imagine all the thoughts going through their mind. They're communing, they're reasoning. Well, and Jesus Himself drew near. Jesus Himself drew near. And went. Not looking at it. I want you to look at it. Verse 15. It says they communed together and reasoned, and Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. Got right beside them and walked for 2 more hours. Now, who does the Lord appear to? The early and the anxious. Those who commune together about the things of Christ. Where 2 or 3 are gathered, He said, in My name, I'll be right there. Did He? He sure did. They were communing, talking of Christ, intimate conversation, and Jesus Himself drew near and went with them, just as He said He would. He is true to His word. I'll be in the midst of them. In the midst, I believe He got between them. And went with them, walked with them. All right. Verse 16 says that their eyes were holding that they should not know Him. There it is again. He was with them and they didn't know it. Himself. Does that still happen? Well, it did then. Sure it does. Their eyes were holding. Why? Again, because they were grief-stricken. And they were bewildered. And they had forgotten what they'd heard. They'd forgotten everything he said. They were reasoning, but they'd really forgotten. Or else they wouldn't be. They would have believed, wouldn't they? They would have believed the record. He's risen. Well, he said he would. We knew he would. He said he would. They forgot. How quickly we forget. And again, the Lord appears to one or two who truly seek him. That's who he's appeared to. Early, the anxious, the seekers. Look at back at our Luke 16. Go back. Mark 16. Go back there. Mark 16, verse 13. And so they went after the Lord appeared to them. Now, he did reveal himself. Remember? He revealed himself in breaking the bread. They asked, they didn't know it was Christ. But he was talking to them about himself, about the Christ crucified in the Scriptures. Ought not Christ to have suffered and to enter into his glory, and beginning at Moses and the prophets and Psalms, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. He reasoned with them from the Scriptures about Christ crucified, the gospel, starting in, don't tell them where to start, Genesis 3, and brazen serpent and smitten rock, and on, Passover, and just all those glories just went on, and they were walking, and we came to the city, that 8 miles just, man, it just passed like that. And he acted like he was going to walk on past. I said, don't go. He'd been preaching to him for 2, 3, maybe 4 hours. He didn't get tired. And then, don't go. Come in. They didn't know it was him. It's just a preacher of the gospel. It's just a man, a preacher of the gospel. Come in. Tell us some more. He came in, and they were sitting at the table. Master. And then he's gone. Be careful to entertain strangers. Now those that, I'm not. Most preachers don't have respect to people today, even though. True preachers, and most because the false ones have done such damage to the office. Anyway, verse 13, they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they then. They didn't believe them. They didn't believe them. Turn with me now to verse 14. Let's read this. Now, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Because they didn't believe them. Now, I now turn to John chapter 4. They didn't, nobody believed anybody, did they? No matter who it was that told them, they didn't believe him. John chapter 4. This is also relevant. John chapter 4, the story of the woman at the well. You know this story. The woman at the well. The Lord appears to this woman. Now again, he appears to the chief of sinners. This woman had been married 7 times. And now was living, 5 times. And was living out of marriage. He got tired of being married. So he was living with a fellow now. And the Lord appeared to her, chief of sinners. That's who our Lord came to save. And if you remember our study Sunday morning about the Lord makes his appointments. He's the one that makes the appointment. He made this appointment with her. She was one of his chosen, one of his lost sheep. He's the one that made the appointment. He made it before the world began. And now he's going to keep it. He comes and he went before her. Like he told the disciples, I'm going to go before you. He went before this woman and sat on the well and waited to be gracious John 4, verse 28. Now the woman, after he revealed himself to her, left her water pot. That was all, most of her worldly possessions. Left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto him. Finally, somebody believed somebody. Look down at verse 39. It says, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the sake of the woman. Well, thankfully, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans, who's this that believes him? Samaritans. Gentiles. Samaritans. When they came unto him, that he would tarry with them. See, that's who the Lord speaks to. And he abode there 2 days. Blessed their house 48 hours of his presence. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, verse 42, now we believe, not because of thy saying. We've heard him ourselves. And know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So, the fact is, now here's the fact of the matter. None will believe the gospel unless Christ gives faith to believe. None will. His chosen won't until the time. None, and here's a fact also, none truly believe him until he personally reveals himself to them. But it appears that those people believe the facts the woman said. We believe that. But then they had to come see for themselves. That's a true seeker. Right? Not just facts. I want to hear him speak to me. And they did. They came, and the Lord did reveal himself to them. It kind of reminds me of my story. I remember believing the facts, you know, as a young man. Believing the facts. And the Lord, in mercy and grace, later on, created in me an earnest, heartfelt desire to really know him, to hear from him, to speak to me. And he did. And he did, through his word. Through his word. I've never seen the Lord personally. But I've seen him from this book just as plain, just as clear as if he stood before it. So none will truly believe until he personally reveals himself to you. And that's what you do. You get alone, get in your closet and ask the Lord to come to me, speak to me. Now back to the text, Mark 16. This is another appearance we just read about. Another appearance, third appearance, verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. Now, who does the Lord appear to? Who does the Lord appear to? Who does the Lord make himself known to? Who does the Lord have intimate fellowship with? Who does the Lord appear to? The early and the anxious. Those that walk and talk together of these things. Those that are sitting at meat. These have not forsaken the assembling of themselves together. Thomas did, and he missed out. That's another account. The Lord appears to those who look for him. Those that gather together with the saints that love his appearing. And doesn't it say that? He said he'll appear to them that love his appearing. These men and women, though they forsook him at the cross, they had to. Michael, they had to in God's purpose. Didn't they not? They had to. Christ had to go alone. But they were guilty for forsaking. But they did not forsake the assembly of themselves together. Peter, you remember Peter said, I'm going fishing. What did the rest of them say? Wait, we'll go with you. No, you're not leaving us. They needed each other. It was their darkest hour, you know. Those 3 days when the Lord was in the tomb was their darkest hour. It's the worst time in the previous 3.5 years. Everything up to that point was just wonderful. But for 3 days, they were filled with doubts and fears and darkness and sadness and grief and just anxiety. They didn't know where to go, what to do, but what did they do? They didn't go home and sit alone. Thomas did. And he missed out. They gathered together and had dinner. You know, they were praying and seeking the Lord. And he appeared to them. And verse 14 says he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Because their unbelief, because they believed not them which had seen him, those that told him them after he was risen. Now, the Lord didn't first upbraid them. The other accounts tell us, Matthew, Luke, and John tell us that he first said, the very first thing he said to them, "Peace be unto you. Be not afraid. It's I. It is I. Don't be afraid. Peace." That's the Lord. "Peace be unto you." Because when he appeared, they were just taken back. They saw him dead, and he appeared alive. And they were affrighted, and he said, "Peace be unto you. Don't be afraid." So that's the first thing. After speaking peace to them and allaying their fears, then he upbraided them. Now, the word upbraid, I looked it up. It was to rail on. It's to chide. It's to reproach. It's to debase. He was not talking sweet to them. This is not the Jesus you hear about in preaching today. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the true Christ. The true Christ. And he railed on his disciples. He reproached them. He spoke firmly and sternly, rebuked them. Is that all right? Is it? Do we need it? Look at Hebrews 12 with me. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, after he said, "Peace be unto you," and "Be not afraid," and he, "Now I got something to tell you. You listen to me." And he railed on us, didn't he? Did your daddy ever rail on you? Huh? Yeah, because you had a daddy. You had a true daddy. I did too. And buddy, there were times when he railed on me. Here's what? Anybody in here who had a true father and a true mother, one or the other, or both, and if you were a typical child who did things to upset them, after they repeatedly told you, I mean repeatedly, kept repeating, telling you, you did it anyway. It's like you never heard them. And they railed on you. And you needed it, didn't you? So it is with God's children. Look at it, Hebrews 12. If you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards, you're not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? They bear that, that is, our earthly fathers, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, according to their whatever seemed right to them. But he always for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. When my dad was, I never did say, "Thank you, Dad, I appreciate it. Yeah, take the breath off, I need it." Never! Did you? Oh, he did again. I think, oh, no. Never, no chastening ever seemeth joy was grievous. Don't hit me again. I thought, you're never going to quit hitting me. Probably just hit me twice. Seemed like 8 miles. Lasted 20 seconds, Steve. It seemed like 20 hours. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. It's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded, now here it is, the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down the people. Did you hear that? Straighten up! That's raving on you. But I can't do it. The Lord has to do it. He does it through His Word. The Lord sternly rebuked His disciples. Go back there and see what He rebuked them for. A couple of things. Rebuked them. Upbraided them. And that means spoke real hard at them for their unbelief. What's unbelief? How many times did he tell them? They never heard him when he was saying that. They weren't listening. Thinking about something else. And they should have been listening. And did die. And he did rise again. And they didn't believe. The time they needed the most, they didn't believe. The time they needed the most, they didn't believe. And he upbraided them for their unbelief, as if to say, why don't you believe me after all these years? He was with them for 3.5 years. They never had any reason to doubt him. Everything he said to them came true. Everything he said to them came true. Didn't it? For 3.5 years. Everything he said to them came true. They never lacked for anything. One time he asked them, I've been with you 3 years. Have you lacked for anything? Nothing. Nothing. All the blessings keeps heaping on. He said, now you're going to go through tribulation. And it's just as if he was saying to them, and he probably did, but after all I've done to you and for you, after all I've said to you, and after everything has come to pass, exactly like I said, and for 3 days you're ready to quit. For 3 days you're not going to believe. We need that upbraiding, don't we? Huh? No. In the hardness of their heart. He upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. And all of this was due to the fact that they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Heart. Well, he doesn't say, but he's, you know, later on he spoke peace generally to Peter, and I'm not sure of the time frame, but he had some choice words for Peter. You know he did. You going to go fishing? That's where you were when I found you. You were a nobody or nothing. That's what the Lord told David, then through the prophet Nathan. I took you from watching sheep. Now look at you. One of my personal ambassadors. You going to go back fishing? You going to quit? You going to go back fishing? No. No. Temporary madness. Hardness of heart. Lovest thou me more than these, he asked. Why don't you believe your brother? Why won't you believe your sister? Huh? Why won't you? I spoke to them. They never lied to you before. Why don't you believe them? He upbraided them, you said. That's what he's doing. He's upbraiding. Because I'll tell you why. He was so hard on them. And he was. It was good for them. We read that in Hebrews 12. He's going to send them into the world to pray. And the Lord's not going to appear to anybody in person. Except Paul the Apostle. He's going to send these 11 apostles out in the world to preach to a crazy The man was all open up. It's just right here. But people don't have to believe. So he's upbraiding them. You're going to be an example of faith. That's what he said. You're going to be an example of faith. If you won't believe the word of those that I send, should I have them believe you? You understand? Should I have them believe? You're going to be an example of faith. You're going to be an example. And now here's the divine commission here. The divine commission. I'm up to her. Verse 15. And he said unto them, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go in all the world and do what? What's the divine commission to preachers? Or whoever, his disciples. Not just preach the gospel. What are preachers supposed to do? The answer is in the question. They're a preacher, that's what they do. Right? Preach the gospel. The gospel. Every creature. Read on. Every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be damned. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now everybody loses sight of this right here. Because of the next couple of verses. The whole world was taken up with verses 17 and 18. And they lose sight. Jeanette, the first thing he says is the most glorious. This is the miracle of miracles, he said. This is the most wondrous thing of all. Not that Paul said, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels. Big deal. But to be saved from your sins, well, that's the miracle. That's the wonder of wonder. He that believeth, what? These signs and wonders. No. He that believeth the gospel. He that believeth the gospel. And is baptized. That's the commitment. That's the final commitment, like the marriage ceremony. He that believeth and is baptized. I don't get excited. I don't really believe anybody's testimony until they get my glory. I know. I hear all kind of comments from people. Visitors come, visitors go, I hear good comments. I quit listening to them. I'm just about quit repeating them, but not completely. I like to hear good comments. I sure do. I like to hear people say things encouraging. But, Stephen, I don't believe a word of it. Until. They keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. And then they come to me and say, I believe. I've come to confess Christ. It's like two people that say they love one another. I don't believe. Until. What about my life? I'm going to be with them the rest of my life. I love them. Well, I believe in it. Maybe. But this is the miracle. He that believeth the gospel and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Shall be damned. That's the striking verse. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, as well as language. They shall take up serpents. They drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Who's this talking about? Anybody? It seems to, at first appearance, that they shall follow them to believe. Now, going down to verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, Lord working with. Who's it talking about? The disciples. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with, and confirming the word with signs following. Then, the disciples. These things have done away with them. Now, don't read it. The word was being written. They were writing the word. People didn't have a copy of the Bible. And these men came preaching the gospel in the heathen lands, right? Now, they had rattlesnakes. There's not one account in this whole book, the New Testament, of them having a snake handling meeting. Not one account. An absolute fool would handle snakes. Absolute idiot. This happened when the Apostle Paul was on an island by Miletus. All right? He was on this island where there were some barbarous natives. I'm talking, they may have been cannibals. Barbarous natives, it says. They were ready to kill them all. And Paul reached down in the fire to grab a stick, and a snake, a deadly snake, latched onto his hand. He reached up like that, and a snake was hanging from his hand. Now, this is one of those like a green mambo, but Ken Wyman talks about in Africa. You dip, you're dead. You go five steps, you're dead. And they knew it. The natives knew it. Because it says they waited for him to die. He was dead man. And it says, Paul, he didn't pick up that snake and show him. Look, watch this. No. Snake bit him and he shook it off like that and went on about it. Those natives were watching him. And he never swelled. No. Didn't turn red. Like up in their back. And Paul started preaching to them. They said, this man must be from God. Nobody can get bit by one of those snakes and live unless it's God's living. And they listened to him. They never drank poison. There's not one account in this all the Bible where they actually drank deadly things. But you know there were disciples who were, they tried to kill them. Paul, they tried to kill Paul on every hand. They tried everything. Speaking in new languages, you know the account of Pentecost. Peter and all the disciples, well, these were Galileans. But they had never gone to language school. They didn't know Hindu and Greek and Arabic and all these different languages. And they still had to preach at Pentecost. And there it was, like a big Bible conference. We're preaching. And lo and behold, they're preaching in Spanish. They start preaching in Spanish. There's some people out there from Spain or wherever it was. I said, well, hey, we're hearing the gospel in our language. Aren't these men from Galilee? Well, where do they understand them? Holy Ghost. They weren't speaking Babel. I got to tell you a story. You'll give me time. Excuse me for a minute. There was some, Brother Cody, there was some, his nephews went down to Mexico and to visit. And they were sitting in one of the services, and Cody was speaking in Spanish. He was preaching in Spanish. And then preaching in Spanish for about 20 minutes. And then he said something in English for the sake of those kids or whoever was there, didn't know. He said something in English. And he went back to preach in Spanish. And that night, they went home, and one of those boys said, you know, for a minute, I can understand Spanish. So I did. That's the same. But this actually happened here. He's speaking in Galilean, you know, and nobody was a fellow from the Far East can't understand what he wants. Speaking in Hindu. Hey! And all the way it went. It wasn't some foolish battle. That's some battle. They were speaking. They're not trying to impress people. They're trying to preach the gospel. That's the power of God and salvation. The gospel, not gibberish. You can't say the flame, gibberish. The gospel's the power. And that's what happened. There's people in new languages. And they laid hands on the sick and they recovered. So that's what happened. And look at this now. Then you wrote from Hebrews 1. And verse 5, it says he went back and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on God. You remember reading that? Look at verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Sat down. Work finished. Salvation accomplished. Orders given. Holy Spirit said. It's done. And they went forth, so they did. Now they believe. Now they believe. And they preached everywhere. The Lord working with what it means in a tablet. Let's read it this way. The Lord working with and confirming the word. That's what the Lord uses. With signs following after the word. Signs, proof, words, power. So, signs aren't for believers. Believers don't need signs. They just need the word. Amen. Okay. Now, there's three. Let me just bring this to your attention. There were three appearances in that chapter. The three appearances of our Lord. And that coincides with his three appearances on this earth. That's by the sign. He appeared in the beginning. Once in the beginning, the world, the Old Testament days, he appeared to Abraham, Gideon, so on. And then he was incarnate, became carnate, carnal, flesh, incarnate. He appeared. Second time, in a body. The body has got prepared. And he kept that. When he left, he's coming again. He's going to appear a third time, without sin, under them, wait for him and look for him. And sit at meat, where everyone anxious. Talk about these things. He's going to appear. And we'll be living for him. All right, I hope that gospel, this book was a blessing to you. Let's stand. Now, Father, thank you for your word. We can't say enough. We don't feel sincere enough from the heart that we do. Thank you. As much as life within us, from your word, we ask your forgiveness for not heeding it as we should. We need to be upgraded, Lord, as you did the disciples of old. We ask your forgiveness for not believing you and for hardness of our heart and for taking your word for granted and not being more interested in it. As there be times when we need it more than ever. So, Lord, let us hear the word. Let's hear it and see the engrafted word. It's like a wellspring springing up when we're thirsty. Thank you for your gospel, the gospel of Mark. Bless it to our understanding, for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. For this name.